理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 16, Cruel Moments. Miss de la Mole thought of nothing except almost being killed. He's worthy of being my master, since he almost killed me. How many fine young men from high society could have a thought like that? He looked handsome when he returned the sword. I wasn't crazy to love him after all. At dinner she talked to Julien,and she ordered him to follow her to the garden. She looked curiously at the hands that almost killed her, and she began to tell him about the feelings she used to have for Marquis de Croisenois. Julien had never felt worse. His heart ached with jealousy. Julien had thought himself better than de Croisenois, but now he suffered. He admired Matilda so much that he almost fell to her feet and asked for mercy.This pain went on for almost a week. Matilda enjoyed causing Julien pain. Julien could have changed her feelings, but he did not understand them. Instead, he finally said, "You don't love me anymore, but I love you." This was the biggest mistake he could have made. In one moment, he destroyed all the good feelings in Matilda's heart. Matilda, sure of being loved,hated him completely. Julien did not understand anything from the last week, but he understood this hate. He avoided her and told the Marquis he was sick. Matilda was again bored with the de Croisenois and de Luz. These men were always scared of a revolution, but if she was with Julien, she would not be afraid. He had ambition and character, but no money or friends.She could give these to him, but her mind still treated Julien like a lesser person, one who could be made to love at any time. Chapter 17, The Italian Opera. Matilda sometimes regretted her happiness with Julien.
"I made a mistake,"
she thought,
"but at least I made a mistake with a man of character."
It wasn't his good looks, but his mind. It was foolish of me, she thought, to be angry because he expressed his love. Am I not his wife? This thought came naturally. As she thought, she drew in her diary. When she looked down, she saw that she had drawn a picture of Julien.
"It's a sign from heaven,"
she thought. She stayed in her room until her mother made her leave for the opera.At the opera, she could not speak. The music filled her heart. Thanks to her love of music, she felt the way Mrs. de Renal did when she thought of Julien. She believed she had defeated love. Julien did not understand any of this. He had a strong sense of honor, though, and he could not ask anyone for advice. From his window, he saw Matilda walking in the garden.When she left, he went down and walked in her steps. He looked up at her window, and he saw her light go out. In one instant, he decided, "I will go to her room." He went to the ladder. It was chained up. In a moment of extreme strength, he broke the chain. He flew up the ladder and knocked. The window opened, and he fell inside, more dead than alive.
"So it's you, my love,"
she said, throwing herself into his arms. No words can describe Julien's happiness. Matilda's was almost as great.
"Punish me,"
she said.
"You are my master. I am your slave."
Julien had to stop her from cutting a bunch of hair off her head.
"I want to remember that I'm your servant."
They had made too much noise, and Mrs. de la Mole woke up next door. Julien held her one last time, and then he jumped out the window. He did not climb down the ladder. He slid. When he got down, he realized that he was bloody and he had no clothes. Something fell into his hands. It was some of Matilda's hair.
"This is what your servant sends you,"
she said loudly.
You will always be my master.
He almost went back to the room, but his reason won. The next day Julien saw the damage. Everyone could see that the side of her head had almost no hair. She was never alone that day. Later she said,
My mother has ordered my maid to stay in my room tonight.
Julien was on top of the world. The next day at lunch, Matilda was cool, however. Her whole behavior had changed. She seemed to regret her actions. What have I done? He thought. I must kill my heart. Julien took his horse out and rode until he could not move. Julien is dead, he thought. Only his body still moves. Chapter 18. The Secret Letter. Marquis de la Mole called him. The Marquis looked young.
Let's talk about your memory. I hear it's good. Could you learn 4 pages and recite them perfectly in London?
Yes, Julien answered.
Without changing a single word?
Yes. If you want, tomorrow I could tell you everything that's in today's paper.
I will take you to a salon. 12 people will speak.
You will make notes of what each person says, said the Marquis.
You will then write 4 pages from these notes, and then you'll leave Paris. You'll pretend to be a person traveling for fun. You'll meet a duke, and you will need to fool all of his staff. The duke himself will copy those 4 pages. You won't be bored, because some people will want to kill you. Go buy some clothes. I want you to look foolish tonight.
Julien came back wearing silly-looking clothes. The Marquis laughed. He knew he could trust Julien. If I can't trust Julien, he thought, who can I trust? My son is brave, but he could never do this job. At the salon, Julien stayed at one side. He watched people enter the salon. The host was a very large man. Another man was short and broad. His face looked cruel, like a wild pig. A thin man came in. He was wearing many vests. Julien recognized the Bishop of Agde. Soon a small, dark man came in, talking quickly. Julien was not comfortable. He was hearing some very strange things. This is some kind of conspiracy, he thought.
Chapter 19. The Discussion. A servant entered and said, The Duke of...
Be quiet, you fool, the Duke said.
Marquis de la Mole said,
Everyone, this is Father Julien Sorel. He has an astonishing memory. In 1 hour, he learned the first page of the newspaper.
The host asked Julien to show his skill. After 20 lines, the host stopped him. Everyone was satisfied.
It's this gentleman's turn to speak, the host said, pointing to the man with many vests.
Julien thought he looked like a bishop. No names were used. The man with the vest spoke for a long time. Finally, he said,
England gave lots of money to defeat the Jacobins. They don't have any money left for our cause. Without England's money, Austria, Russia, and Prussia cannot fight for a long time.
The Marquis stood and said,
England's nobles hate Jacobinism as much as we do. Without English gold, Austria, Russia, and Prussia can only fight 2 or 3 battles. Will that be enough to take France? I don't think so. We must have our own strong armies. Every province must have 500 faithful men, including our own sons. If we cannot provide an army, the foreign kings will not help us. If the Jacobins win, there will be no more kings, no more gentlemen, and no more priests. There will only be democracy and people. We must act now to stop this. There's a duke who can help us.
Chapter 20. The Church, Forests, and Freedom. A religious man stood up. He said, "It's impossible to start the army we want without the church. We must give everything to the church and the priests. They are the only people that can speak to the common people. If every priest talks to the people, they will give us our army." The discussion was very active. Many people were angry, and they all talked openly. "These people will poison me," Julien thought. "How can they say these things in front of a peasant?" The host stopped them. "We must decide," he said, "what letter Mr. Sorel will take to our friend across the border." At 3 in the morning, Julien and the Marquis left. The Marquis wrote out the letter. In the morning, they went to a house far from Paris. The Marquis was not worried about Julien's memory, but he feared Julien would be caught. Julien left for the next town. As soon as he was on the road, he forgot about his mission. His mind was only on Matilda. At a village, the post officer told him there was no carriage for the next town. Julien was angry, but he ordered some food. He did not trust the officer. He had a happy surprise, though. Sitting next to the fire with several Germans was his friend Geronimo, the opera singer. "Let's go outside," Geronimo said. When they were far away, he said, "Do you know what's going on? I gave a child some money, and he told me there are many horses down the street. They want to delay some messenger."
"Really?" Julien said innocently.
"Let's wait until tomorrow. We'll order breakfast. While they make it, we'll sneak out and hire some horses."
Julien did not know if he could trust Geronimo, but there was nothing to do. He went to bed, but he woke up when he heard 2 people in his room. Julien touched his gun, which was under the pillow. The post officer was there with a man in priest's clothes.
"He won't wake up," the post officer said. "We gave him some of the wine you prepared." "There are no letters here," the priest said. "The other one is probably the messenger. I think his Italian accent is fake."
The priest turned around. It was Father Castaneda from the school. Julien badly wanted to kill the evil man, but it would ruin his mission. He waited 15 minutes, and then he yelled,
"Help! I've been poisoned! I'm in so much pain!"
And then went to check on Geronimo. Geronimo was almost dead from the poison, and Julien couldn't wake him up. He had to leave alone. Julien reached the Duke's home without more trouble. When he found the Duke, they went to a low-class coffee house. In a small room, Julien told the Duke everything, and the Duke wrote it all down.
"Wait 1/2 hour, and then go to Strasbourg," the Duke commanded. "Wait there for 2 weeks, and then return. Silence!"
Julien admired the man. That's the way to do business. It took 2 days to get to Strasbourg. Father Castaneda works for the congregation, Julien thought. If he had recognized me, I'd be dead.